Those of you who are of my age or maybe older might remember the Ivory soap commercial. Ivory declared, without the least bit of irony intended, that its product was 99.44% pure. And it floats. So what's in all the rest of the soaps we're using? When a country and western singer later adopted the ad line for his love song, we were mildly amused that the suitor professed his feelings as being 99.44% pure love. Now, we might lament the truth behind his words, that all our attempts at love are diluted with self-interest to an even greater degree than the ivory soap percentage would admit. These days, purity is a quality hard to come by. We have come to expect a little genetic tinkering in our food. The battleground of pesticides that is our backyard, and the necessity for real politicians to manipulate us with their spin doctors adjusting the message for public consumption. A little bit of the synthetic, the artificial, is woven into what we wear. The truth we hear, the appearance we project, and the roles we play. Which of us can say, I am an authentic person who can honestly say, what you see is what you get? Instead, what do? We obscure the signs of aging that would give us away. Play the game that will advance our careers, smother our true feelings under the acceptable facade, and maybe even forget who we really are. It's a long journey from there to who we are called to be, but how many of us will ever get real enough to be 99.44% pure? Purity and authenticity are expressed in righteous living, self-giving for the sake of others that deepen our relationships. The commandments that we hear about today free us for this kind of living. Each of the commandments has a value at its heart. We can keep the letter of the law and entirely miss the point of the law. For example, the fifth commandment not only prohibits killing another, but demands respect for all of life. The first commandment directs us not only to keep Sunday holy, but also to keep God at the center of our everyday life. The letter of James today implies a percentage of the life of faith is doubtlessly the grace that God has directly infused into our lives as pure gift. However, after that infused gift of grace, what follows is the 99.44% given by our testimony, demonstrated in how what we believe shapes the way we live. The Decalogue provides the blueprint of this seamless relationship between faith and works. The fact that we haven't broken a commandment in half by no means implies that we've kept the commandment. Commandments always take us beyond the letter to the spirit, beyond minimal observance to the conscious surrender of our heart to God and others. We will continue to be tempted by the sin, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, because it looks so good. Hypocrisy is the disconnect between the moral values we espouse and those we actually practice in our behavior. Jesus pointed out that we think our marital bed is neatly made when we do not actually commit adultery. Still, we view others as objects to be possessed and betray our loved ones 1,000 times over by tiny acts of disloyalty and callous disregard. In the same way, we may not go out and kill our neighbor, yet we speak playfully of her or treat him with prejudice and contempt. The poisoned impurity in our hearts is revealed by these acts. Our Catholic Church has reached a time to choose the painful path toward purification. The Pennsylvania grand jury report and the revelations and resignation of Cardinal McCarrick have ushered in a new moment upon us. Like the scribes and Pharisees, we were a church obsessed over the experience performance of religion, and were consumed with the pursuit of purity, yet our hearts were far from pure. Like children, we straightened up our bedroom by pushing everything under the bed, a neatly made bed. And you know, this never fooled Mom, and it hardly suffices to deceive God. On Tuesday night of last week, I concelebrated at the Mass of Healing and Forgiveness with Archbishop Amen and my brother priest. And besides praying for the victims and survivors, Archbishop Amen placed the blame squarely on us, the church leaders. If there is any substance behind the recent spat of episcopal apologies and remorse for this moral catastrophe, we must begin an orderly process of truth-telling and purification. Repentance for these impurities must be followed by a firm purpose of amendment. Participation at Tuesday's night's Mass by the presence of 1,400 laymen and women demonstrated that you are a resilient people who love the church. How will you continue to love and support our church through this time of purification? What will you do to foster greater healing and forgiveness? Don't just throw up your hands and say, "I'm done with it." It's easier to clean pots and pans than to clean one's heart. To be pure lovers, we must continually seek to purge our hearts of the cobwebs of spite and selfishness that gather in shadowy and unfrequented corners. Pure lovers Do not allow bitterness to remain unexamined or unforgiveness to gain a foothold in their thinking. Pure lovers know that thoughts and attitudes lead to behaviors. The time to challenge an idea is the moment it first occurs to us. Christ urges us to examine our own defiled hearts rather than our neighbor's dirty hands. Holiness is not a garment that can be put on. Holiness must emerge from a life authentically lived, rooted in love. If our motivation is not yet 100% pure love, we still have work to do.